This is the third in a series of the ministry of the 12 apostles, entitled, The Crippled Beggar by the Gate Beautiful is Healed, and the apostles are imprisoned and tried. It had been 9 hours since 20 men had heaved in the large, ornamented Corinthian brass double doors of the Gate Beautiful to open them at sunset. Ragged beggars, being careful not to obstruct the entry up the 12 steps of this eastern gate, thereby avoiding the blows of the sticks of the temple police, nonetheless pressed right up to the imaginary line. Alms for the blind, alms for the deaf, alms for the crippled. Only the dumb held their tongue. The new apostles, Peter and John, now entered the noisy scene. For this hour of prayer was a good time to witness. Except for the third, sixth, and ninth hours of the day, only a trickle of Jews entered and left the temple on non-feast days. Since Pentecost, however, the temple was busier than usual, for open-hearted Jews came to hear the apostles and wave their anointed words. If there was a crowd, they preached. Otherwise, the church members that gathered, whether they be many or few, witnessed, prayed, sang, worshiped, taught each other, and discussed new truths and new things happening. After the work day was over, the whole church assembled. Otherwise, they came and went as they could. The two apostles, still full of the Spirit that fell on them at Pentecost, paid no attention to the alms seekers, for they were everywhere, and the apostolic ministers had nothing to spare. They themselves had been living on borrowed money as it was, and they were used to ignoring the cries of the poor, as was everyone else. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit spoke to the mind of Peter. Look at him. Was the silent impression deep within. Peter turned, not realizing that God was guiding him. Him, the Spirit urged. And Peter found himself stopped, looking at a man who had been carried every morning for 40 long years to the gate to beg. Look at his legs, the Spirit pressed. They were only two skinny taut bags of bones. Pitiful. His entire body was emaciated, and the man looked older than he was, and very tired. Peter had seen him before. Everyone had. He even had some regular giving customers, but few really paid him much heed. John, too, now looked and felt a compassion well up within him for the man, a compassion that he had never felt before. What would Jesus do? Came into Peter's mind. But he knew not that the messenger from the Lord was working with God's Spirit on his mind and heart. Command him to stand up and walk was the command that energized his mind. And a spirit of faith entered both men. For a moment, Peter fought the urge of the Spirit with his rationalizations, and a demon of fear urged himself upon them. Are you not God's apostle, commanded by Jesus to heal the sick? Sounded almost aloud in Simon's mind, opposing the demon of fear that attacked his rationale. So strong was the voice that he answered, yes, aloud. And they walked over to a beggar in the crowd, the one God chose. One that everyone knew. Alms for one born cripple, the scrawny man said with hope, for he saw their attention riveted on him. More bread and vegetables, he thought. Maybe even a fish. A tiny one. Look on us, Peter directed the ragged beggar. Ah, this sounds like maybe more than a few mites, the beggar said within, and he hoped with all of his heart that it would be so. Silver and gold have I none, Simon started, and the man's hopeful eyes that bulged from his face glazed with disappointment. But such as I have give I thee, Peter continued. Ah, all was not lost. Some food, a scrap of clothing, perhaps. I hope not an empty chill, a prayer, or advice that warms not the stomach, the beggar said within himself. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, Peter ordered boldly. My, he seemed to almost require it. In the name of Jesus, the anointed one of Nazareth, did he say? Yes, I know the name. I've seen him myself. I've heard much about him lately. Tidbits of scorn, scraps of eulogies, pieces of rumors, and parts of tales, all from moving men passing by. Is it true? Can I rise up and walk? Is he truly God's son? They crucified him, didn't they? Do he believe? What could he lose? He would believe. Faith knocked at his heart, and he opened the door. Just then, the big arm of the apostle came out to him, and he looked up at two smiling, confident faces. He wobbled his arm in the air over the extended hand, and it caught a hold of his and pulled. He felt his thin body being lifted up from the pavement by the strong arm and grip. Suddenly it happened. The lame beggar, his torso dangling in the air, his lifeless legs lying on the pavement like two short ropes, felt an invisible hand on his forehead. He instinctively reached up with his free hand to grasp it, but touched nothing. A warm sensation like warm oil flowed down his face. It seemed to move inward into his torso and down his limbs and out his arms. And when it touched his feet, he felt them strengthen. A surge of excitement shot through him, and he tightened the muscles in his legs. He hadn't known how, for he had never done so before, and he didn't even know he was attempting to do so now. Then, with excited faith, he thrust his feet to the pavement and pushed, leaping to full height on his own. Peter let go, and the ragged beggar went off balance, but found that he threw his other leg out to catch himself, then the other. So this is what walking is, a series of off-balance and regaining balance movements. The beggar, crippled from birth, was now walking. He quickened his pace. Glory! He tried a little jump, and it worked. And the beaming man, encouraged, made a higher jump. And he laughed and cried for joy. Then he mingled the two and shouted, "I'm healed! I'm healed! I'm healed! Jesus has healed me! All glory to God! Thank you, Almighty God! Thank you! Hallelujah! See, I can walk and leap!" And he took off on a run, interspersed with leaps into the air. "Now I know Jesus is Messiah," he cried, caring not who hurt him. Others about the gate, beautiful, hearing and seeing the frenzied commotion and the excited crowd, gathered about the healers and the healed, ran to get in on the excitement. And they saw the familiar cripple jumping and shouting, and they were amazed. And many who were on the theological fence now believed in Jesus. And the other beggars cried out, "Sirs, me too! Heal me too!" And they shouted out their infirmities, but the Spirit goaded the ministers into the temple. And as they complied, the healed man followed them, leaping for joy, trying out his new legs, praising God with all his strength. "I can walk. I can run. I can jump. I've never walked or ran or jumped. I was born crippled. God has done a miracle for me. For me. He chose me. See, I am as other men. I am no longer crippled." And he beamed and continually cried out, worshiping the Lord. And all the people in the court of the Gentiles saw him and recognized him as the lame man they passed by every time they entered and left God's temple by the beautiful eastern gate. And they were filled with great wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And comments flew. "The Galilean's disciples have his power to heal. Look, it was them, those men there that healed him. Has Jesus of Nazareth given his power now to his followers? Lo, what will now happen? Has the Nazarene indeed arisen?" And Peter loudly announced, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And the Pharisees and Sadducees knew that it was they who had stood in front of Pilate's hall, not the masses who knew not that the Nazarene prophet was being tried at that very early hour on the Passover. But Peter wasn't through speaking yet. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as also did your rulers." And Peter no longer felt bitterness toward them, but he felt God's love and compassion. And he marveled and now understood how Jesus felt and why. "But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, namely that his anointed one should suffer, this he hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, and be turned about, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall again send unto you Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution and restoration of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For the great lawgiver Moses truly said unto our fathers, A prophet shall Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." And Simon Peter now knew that he was now Petros, a piece of the rock mass. For lo, the Spirit of God was rushing through him as it had Jesus. It was wonderfully exhilarating and amazing to be pouring out truth as it came into him from the Holy Spirit. And he continued, saying, Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made unto our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Thus to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to David and Mary, the wife of Joseph of Nazareth, the mother of Jesus, God hath raised up Christ, who shall indeed become king of Israel and all the nations, when God shall have put away their sins. The good news is unto you, Jews, first, God having raised up his Son, Jesus, who was sent to bless you in turning you away from your iniquities. And as the piece of the rock continued to expound the truths of God's holy scripture in new revelation, the chief Sadducees, having been notified by other alarmed Sadducees in the crowd, showed up with the chief priests and the captain of the temple. They halted only long enough to hear that these upstarts preached resurrection from the dead through Jesus. The Pharisaic doctrine of a resurrection was bad enough, but was said to be promised in the name of Jesus whom they had crucified, they were deeply grieved and alarmed. This was too much. Who gave these unlettered Galileans authority to be rabbis and scribes of the law? These know-nothing followers of Jesus, of the working class, are an abomination to Israel in the temple. Their preaching is horribly presumptuous. These vagabond babes of theology, now aping the Nazarene, cannot be tolerated, even if there is no law against what they are doing. And look at the crowds these novices draw. Disgusting. And the captain of the temple, full of rage, turned to the temple police that had followed him with long clubs in hand. Seize the false prophets! Arrest these heretical followers of Jesus of Nazareth! For all judges have condemned not only the man, but his doctrine as well. And all of a sudden the apostles saw that when they taught without the backup of their large contingent of followers, they were more vulnerable. As the long shadows mingled with the darkness and the cooled sun slipped behind the western horizon, the heavy iron doors of the Tower of Prison clanked shut behind the two hapless men. Now what? Had the miracle of healing dead ended in the prison of Antonia? Will they too be crucified in the early morning before their friends find out what happened to them, as with Jesus? Mary, the mother of Jesus, worried, for John had not come home from the temple and it was dark. They could hold dinner no longer. They had prayed for his safety in this house, as Andrew and others prayed for Peter in his house, and they ate without them and prayed some more. A knock at the house of John. Mary opened the door after being certain of the one knocking. Her worried face stared into the worried face of another disciple. Peter and John are in prison, the disciple blurted out. Mary gasped and flung her hand over her startled heart. Oh, Lord God! She stopped her prayer and said, I know this was bound to happen sooner or later, but I wasn't quite prepared for it yet, although all the signs were there. Does Andrew know? And the man nodded. Come in. We have been praying, but we shall pray some more. They are in the Lord's hands, as we all are. Whatever seemeth good to him, he will do, and we will accept without grief. God's moon cast a soft light through the small window of the prison door on the backs of two men also praying. And as the Roman jailer passed by the door, he heard them and put his ear to the window, blocking out the moonlight, and heard them pray. We thank you, Father, that you have counted us worthy to suffer with your Son, and for his name's sake. If we perish, we shall also reign with him in his kingdom. And the two apostles slept better than the followers did. The sun lit on the serene faces of the two sleeping men lying on the hard, dirty stone floor. And they awoke and sat up. Oh, no, John said when he opened his eyes. I know what you mean, Peter anticipated. Yes, we were in prison. I dreamt they beheaded us like they did the Baptist who also bore my name, John returned. And we were in our Lord's heavenly kingdom, and it was wonderful. Not yet, Peter said, not yet. If we are here tonight, I'm going to continue my dream, John joked dryly, his eyes giving a faint twinkle. And John saw it and the wrinkles of the light by his eyes, and he laughed. These are great new days, John. Anything can happen. Within the will of God, John qualified. Right, dear brother. We are his property and we are his problem now, the spirit-filled fisherman declared. I can't help but feel that our ministry is not over yet, John said, although I realize that the others can carry on without us. Jesus seemed to imply that, I think. I think you are right, Brother John. We'll just leave it in the hands of our Jesus and his heavenly Father, Petros declared with finality. They heard an iron key clank into the large lock of the door. And they heard the iron bolt slide and the door hinges squeak as light flooded the floor and bodies and faces of the two standing prisoners, who smiled at the unsmiling face of the Roman jailer, then at the Jewish captain of the temple, a Sadducean. "Follow us," the priest captain said sternly. And as they left the hold, they saw four temple policemen who took up positions, one on each side of each of them, holding their arms at the elbows. And as the jailer stayed behind, the seven men strode from the Roman fortress jail along the outside walls of the temple outer court to the Hall of Hewn Stones, where the 71 members of the Sanhedrin judged serious matters regarding ecclesiastical law. Now Peter and John stood like the master had in front of the council. The sage, a venerated scribe, opened the court session. Then the president high priest, Caiaphas, leaned forward and inquired, "By what authority, in whose name, have you laid your hands on this man?" And the high priest pointed to the ex-cripple, now healed, standing as a witness, having been taken into custody. But although afraid, the man with two good legs was still ecstatic. Caiaphas continued, and Peter and John looked back from the healed beggar to the angry face of the head priest. "Who or what is the source of your power? Tell me. Is it medicine, magic, sorcery, or Jesus the imposter put to death for his crimes?" And as Peter opened his mouth to answer, flames of truth leapt from his mouth in the form of words. "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed to the impotent man by what means he is made whole and no longer sits and begs, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all whole." And Caiaphas and his cohorts gasped as Peter continued, "This Jesus is the stone which was set aside, being rejected by you builders of Judaism. He has become the headstone of the corner of the building, the stone with the name of the structure, the first stone laid, which all others are lined up to. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." And Peter and John stood straight, fearless, full of the Holy Spirit, not knowing or caring what would now befall them, only that they might be true to Jesus, their loved friend who looked down upon them with his angels from his heavenly kingdom. And they felt conscious of his presence and wanted to shout for joy. And the priestly and Sadducean judges looked upon these upstarts in amazement, marveling at their boldness and lack of fear. They chose not their words carefully, but spake like their master, without anger or defensiveness, loving not their own lives. It was obvious that these rough Galileans, slurring words and confusing consonants in the habit of the non-scholarly Galileans, were unlettered rabbis. How do they otherwise speak so eloquently and powerfully, and without fear of us? It was obvious that these men have been with the Galilean prophet and rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, for they have his words, his spirit, his boldness, and his mannerism. Looking at the beaming healed man, the priests and rulers of the law could say nothing against either the fact of the healing or the benefit derived from it. All facts pointed to the truth of the story of the elite Roman guards who were at the tomb. Jesus was resurrected and ascended, and he now lives on to his disciples, giving them power and authority of his sonship. What could the tribunal say or do? "The council wishes to confer about this matter," Caiaphas stated, and the prisoners and witness were led out of the pillared room by the temple police to the anteroom. "What shall we do to these men?" Caiaphas asked in a quandary. "For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell at Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But let us spread no further, for think what will happen to Jerusalem and us, if all the beggars are healed of their diseases by this Jesus, whom we have put to death as a criminal. Let us strongly threaten these miracle workers that they speak no more to any man about Jesus. They must not spread this name which we have buried. And to let them know we mean business, let us bloody their backs with the whips of judgment, threatening worse things if they continue." "I agree," Anna said. "As much as we would like to, we cannot put them to death, for they have broken no law, as everyone knows." "I don't think we've heard the end of crucifying Jesus of Nazareth," Alexander said, looking worried. "We cannot fill Golgotha with 12 more men, lest there be no end to these martyrs and the whole city be stood against us." "And we dare not let them go without a whipping," John, a leading Sanhedrist, advised. "For then their boldness will continue and increase." I think we all agree with our high priest. And all the chief priests and Sanhedrist nodded in agreement. Once more the prisoners were brought in and the relieved healed man was set free. He ran all the way to the lower city before he slowed to a walk, and he made his way home, Oh, how good it felt to run. Wonderful. And oh, how all the eyes looked on him. The street to his house in the lower city was as a street full of owls. As he swept past them, fleet of foot like a fast stallion, he thought. No more shall you speak in this man's name, Caiaphas warned the preacher sternly. Do you understand that? This time both Simon and John answered together. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Besides, they had broken no law, and Caiaphas had no authority to discriminate against their doctrine any more than that of the Pharisees or the Essenes. And the truth and correctness of their answers stabbed the hearts of the Sanhedrists and angered their demons of pride. First, they implicate us rulers as the murderers of God's own Messiah son. And now they say that we are against God so that they must obey their higher authority. And they have proof of the resurrection and of miracle power as their sign and proof. Neither are they intimidated by us. Caiaphas fumed inwardly. Whip these unsubmissive heretics, he cried in mad hypocrisy, frustrated at his inability to strike fear in these Jesus men who knew that the rulers of the Jews were the guilty and unsubmissive ones in God's sight. We'll see if the lash will hold your tongue, the magistrate sneered, and if not, you'll be back and we'll start again where we left off. Do you hear? But the prisoners answered the pompous intimidator not a word, and they took the rough whipping as well as determined men can, better, for they praised God aloud at each sting of the leather thongs rather than yell out in anguish or to groan. It gave them relief to yell, Jesus, as the whip cut into the flesh, and then turn it into praise by quickly adding, thank you for allowing us to suffer with you and for you. Fanatics, shouted the whip man, but he admired the courage. Arriving home, the friends thanked God aloud, but were careful not to embrace them, for they could see the blood-soaked garments. As the wives washed their backs, they winced, and then laughed as they who could take the whips could hardly take the water, wine, and oil in their wounds poured by loving hands. And having told the whole traumatic episode, and hearing themselves of the 5,000 families of repentant Jews, they lifted up their voice with one accord, and praise God, saying, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers who were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that although we were whipped, yet 5,000 men and their families repented after hearing our message. And thou hast brought them into thy family, to thy church. Thank you, Jesus. And God answered immediately with a sign, for the building shook and the power of the Holy Spirit